You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
You're not gonna arrest me.
Yeah, so there's a 2012 5 upset.
I love the 2012 5.
You're not going to arrest me.
Oh, Royals got Bailey Falter.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, we apologize. Yeah.
It's time for the club, baby. On 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Oh, Royals got Bailey Falter.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Who's that?
The final.
You're not going to arrest me.
Care to update the people?
No, I don't.
I told you. Tired of hearing you bitch about the Mets.
Giants not losing any ground.
I told you that. I told you that was going to happen. By the way.
Well, what do you want? A cookie? I don't
start betting on it then.
Pretty obvious. The Mets suck.
9-1, by the way.
Yeah, they're losing.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah. Nobody is wondering.
9-1.
Why not?
Sure. Get swept by the Phillies. Hey, don't worry. The Red Hot Texas Rangers have a 3-game set with them next. That ought to be fun.
Do you want to know who was batting third for Texas today?
Third. Someone I've never heard of. Was it Bryce Harper hitting home runs?
Jock Peterson.
Oh, of the Pearl Necklace Friday?
Do you remember our segment on Jock Peterson a couple of months ago?
Yeah, he's hitting like 110.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He's now hitting 175. Welcome. And that's good enough to get him to hit third
really
in the Texas lineup, and they're good.
Really turned it around.
They're winning.
There is not a single good team in that entire division, and yet somehow it's...
God, no kidding.
I don't know what to make of it.
Put the A's in the playoffs.
Hey, the A's have the two leading candidates for AL Rookie of the Year.
I've got the 10 ways kids were disciplined in the 1970s. This is for you young Sparkies out there who think you have it hard. You don't.
What about us Mets fans? Do we have it hard?
Number 10. Smoking.
Oh, yeah. If you get caught with a cigarette?
Yep. If you got caught smoking, they would make you smoke until you got sick.
My grandpa did that with my mom, and she didn't even get caught. She just asked about it. She thought it looked cool. She wondered about it. He goes, oh, you know what? We should go do that. They opened up a pack in the backyard, and he's like, we're not leaving until we finish the pack. I'll smoke them with you. But
would
like,
that, wow.
Does that work?
I would imagine that might.
It worked until she decided to smoke in college. So not really.
So no, in that instance.
Well, I wonder, because like, I have a because I smoke cigars, and none of my kids, I sun occasionally, but like it's like if you took a 10-year-old and you gave him a nice Cuban, you roll up a Churchill, a double Corona, and was like, "Hey, suck on this."
If you had to finish it, the kid had to finish it.
Yeah,
I don't think he ever smoked cigars again.
Right?
It's possible.
So, is there a method to that madness?
I see the logic.
Same thing. Like if you've tried, like if you've tried Scotch, like Lagavulin is a Scotch I like, and a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, you take a pull, especially if you tell them, "Hey, just take a shot of it." I don't think they're ever. And you say all liquor tastes like this. I don't think they're
God,
drinking.
That's horrible. Who wants to have that again?
Yeah. I think that mine. Are we on to something here? Like a diversion sort of program?
Get our kids smoking and drinking young?
Yeah.
I remember that Terry Boyd told me a story once. I was having... I know.
Were you golfing with him?
No, we were... Well, I was, yeah. We were at the Sleep Country Golf Tournament back in the day, back in Sacramento. And we were hanging out, and he said his son... Maybe it was a daughter. I think he has a son.
Yeah.
Got really drunk one night. He was underage.
Yeah.
And he showed up hungover the next morning. And Terry took him to a Mexican restaurant and made him do tequila shots.
Oh, man.
Until he got sick.
Is that, yeah. I don't
know if I got that story right.
I don't know if
And
that
now that
works
I mentioned or... his name, yeah. I just want to state I may have gotten that wrong, but it was something to that effect.
Well, because if he were underage, would a Mexican restaurant even have let him take
exactly.
shots?
Exactly.
So maybe he did it at home or something.
Right.
Or,
but does that backfire you? And the kid is like, greatest night of my
this
life.
This is awesome.
Tell you what works to get rid of this hangover, more drinking.
Well, there is an element to that, right? Hair of the dog.
Number 9, embarrass them. A form of psychological torture parents would inflict on their misbehaving children was to embarrass them in front of their friends.
Yeah, that's
nothing could be worse than having all your friends know that you wet your bed or you were caught with girly megs.
I don't know about that, but I do know that we still get the parents like driving the kid to school, you know, like in like the like ratty clothes or whatever. Like I think that was still a thing. I used to have this old, it was my dad. It was like the worst brown truck. It was like a Dodge. It's like a Dodge Adventurer. Dude, it was such a piece of crap. But I had it out when I lived in La Center, and my daughter was totally mortified if we were to be seen in that. And I used to drive it to pick her up just to kind of...
Yeah, piss her off.
Yeah, piss her off.
Keep her in line.
Yeah. Well, she was like 10 or 12 and would be embarrassed that I would pick her up in that. And you better believe, given the choice, I would always pick her up in that truck.
Number 8, nasty chores. Parents of the 70s could find... very inventive ways to instill discipline in their children by making them do really nasty chores. Scrubbing floors with a toothbrush or cleaning the toilets were a common retribution for any variety of misdeeds.
Yeah.
Of course, farm kids had much more nasty, filthy jobs forced on them.
Sure. I'm trying to think, too, like, if any of these applied to me or like, if I did any of those to my kids, I used to make them pick apples. We would have, and we lived on property. If you have a fruit tree and you don't harvest it, it just falls to the ground and they kind of rot and it's really gross. I'd make the kids pick apples, but I'd look out the window and they would just be hucking them at each other. And I thought it was kind of funny.
Cute.
Yeah.
Memories.
They would just go outside and wing them. And now they actually laugh about that and they think it was great. But at the time, they hated the rotten apple cleanup.
10 ways kids were disciplined in the 70s. Grounded for a month.
Yeah.
Once they got too big to spank, the next most effective threat of punishment was to be grounded for a month. Modern parents don't usually go to that extreme anymore.
Yeah.
A day or two.
Month's a long time.
That is a long-ass time. Yeah. And I remember getting grounded for long periods.
I think the longest I got grounded for was I got grounded for a spring break.
That's rough.
That was a week, but it was a spring break.
Because it kills your social life and everyone else is having fun and you're not. Yeah. That's rough.
How about holding a match?
What?
If you were caught playing with fire or matches to instill in their kids the dangers of fire, they would be forced to hold a lit match until it burned their fingers.
Really?
That was in the 70s.
Huh. No, I don't. I got no experience with that. That kind of seems a bit much.
I would imagine today you might get the cops called on you.
Yeah, yeah.
For that?
My dad has stories. Like because his dad was old school, like he would get beat with the tree switch, cut a switch, which I actually didn't know what that meant, but like you would cut a tree branch, and then
it's a switch,
and then you get beaten with it.
Wasn't that what Adrian Peterson was doing?
Yeah, yeah. And my dad said it was always like a weird, because if you picked one that was too thick, it hurt really bad.
Right.
But if you picked one that was too thin, he would beat you longer with it because he would criticize you for picking too thin a branch.
Ah, great times.
Right. Like, I imagine, like, my dad being like, what, you pick this girly branch, and then he just whips you harder and longer because of it? It's like a weird... But he said that was the common practice. You had to go pick your own tree branch to get beaten with. That seems barbaric.
Well, in the interest of time... Well, a lot of these are.
Yeah, some of them, but like some of them aren't bad, but like the match, that's... Jeez.
In the interest of time, we will give you the top five ways kids were disciplined in the 70s next on The Fan. These are the 10 ways kids were disciplined in the 70s. Smoking, embarrassment, nasty chores, grounded for a month, and holding a match until your whole body burned to dust.
Seems a bit extreme.
The top five. Number five, stand in the corner.
I've done the stand in the corner.
Have you?
I made my kids stand in the corner and hug.
Huh.
if they were fighting and were like just, I would make them hug each other and then just go stand in the corner.
If my brother was getting out of control when he was younger, my mom would sometimes just tell him to like stand and face the corner, or she'd send him somewhere obscure like the bathroom or a certain couch in the living room, because she started by sending him to his room, which happens to a lot of parents, but he would like have too much fun in there with his stuff and forget that he was being punished. So
yeah, it's not unlike the timeout, but because
there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Right, but why stand facing the corner?
I don't know. It was the idea, because if I would send you to your room, you got Xbox, you got stuff in your room. The corner was just like...
It's a little bit more the dunce sham, you know, wearing the cone and the hat.
The hat that said dunce on it.
I'm just saying...
What a great way to punish someone.
I've cornered. I've done the corner. I don't think I ever got put in the corner, but I've certainly cornered my children.
Nobody put Suki in a corner.
No. I'm trying to think of, like, what my... I didn't have a lot of punishment. I think they just let my brother kick the hell out of me. I wonder if that was, like, their strategy. They just let my older brother and his friends just beat me. And if that was like, hey, let's just do that. They kind of outsourced the discipline.
That can work.
Yeah.
I got my ass kicked by my brother and his friends.
You just leave the house for a while, and like, what happens? And you come home with like a black eye and a lump on your head, and you're like, I don't know.
Builds character.
Something.
Number four, slap hands. It used to be pretty easy for a parent to let a child know what not to touch with a quick slap to the back of their hand. Now this would also be considered corporal punishment and is frowned upon.
The hand slap?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's not too bad. But they used to... They used to do it with, like,
The ruler.
The ruler.
I always think about, like, the nuns.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I was a forehead flicker. That was one.
You'd flick your kids in the forehead?
Yeah. Like, if they were...
Why?
If they were doing something and it was, like, one of those, like, knock it off sort of things, like, you're, you know, one of them's, like, got the other one, like, pinned down, and then you're like, hey, knock it off. I'd go over and I'd give them a quick... like flick to the bridge of the nose or whatever, like on the tip. And it was enough to kind of like snap, like, hey.
My brother and I got spanked, not a lot, but on occasion. And the hand slap was the halfway house to the spank. If we did something that was bad, but not spanking bad, we'd have to put out our hand and our mom would give us a whack.
Oh, yeah. I think my mom had a potato masher that she would smack you with occasionally.
Ooh, that sounds rough.
Yeah. Or not the potato, what's the, like, yeah.
Like the tenderizer?
Yeah, the tenderizer.
Jeez.
You'd get it.
God.
Well, she was like a chubby Swedish lady. It's not like it was like, you know, I was a fat kid. It's not like a tenderizer to my fat ass was going to do much, but my mom would like, and then you had to pretend that it was bad. You're like, oh no. And then you'd walk away and be like, that was nothing.
That was the key, was pretending it hurt and was bad. Because otherwise, I made the mistake early on to be like, that one didn't hurt. And then it's like, okay, let me try again.
Don't say that,
yeah,
dude.
It's real. You learn real quick not to do that.
You play it up.
10 ways kids were disciplined in the 70s. Number three, washing your mouth out with soap.
Yeah, I've never seen this. I've never heard of it. That's the Christmas story sort of thing. I don't know a single person
thing.
You? Any experience?
Not in our house, but yes, I have friends. I grew up with friends who got this punishment.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I have never. That's a new one. I mean, that was. I always thought that was more like an urban legend.
No. Oh God. No.
Yeah.
No, it's a thing that happened.
It's definitely a thing. If you lied, swore, or said anything dirty, mm-hmm. you would get your mouth washed out with soap. Mm. This form of discipline would probably be considered barbaric today. Mm. Maybe if you need a study or two on that. But
yeah,
I bet you it was effective.
Yeah, although I just don't know.
Because that
I'm just not convinced that any of these things actually work long term. I really don't.
Something tells me that would work. Because it would just suck.
Any of this stuff happens to you one time, you probably don't want it to happen again.
Yeah.
And so it's like it goes way over the top. It's leading with the big punishment. So
and
you
I think
scale
the soap would linger in your mouth. Like
you'd hate that.
So this guy says, I was the customer in my family and he got the bar of soap. So to you, good sir on the text program, did you stop cursing? Because to me, I would just not curse in front of my mom, but it wouldn't stop me from cursing.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you don't know. You didn't get your mouth washed out with soap.
That's true. I feel like the moment I was out of the room, I'd call my mom a bitch. I think that would be like, you don't.
Whoa.
You know, it's like,
whoa.
Like, you get your. I told you, you dumb bitch.
Oh, my God.
You stupid bitch.
You think the mouth. I wonder if any of those. Like, getting my ass kicked didn't stop me from doing anything. It just made me not want to get my ass kicked.
She's a grade A bitch.
You know? I wonder if any of those punishments actually work or if they just make the person giving the punishment feel any better. Like, if I could go back, I wouldn't do any of those things to my kids because I don't think they did anything.
You freaking bitch.
But at the time, like, you're as a parent, you don't know what to do. Like, they're not listening to you. It's like, you got to try something.
I think that's a big part
yeah,
of it.
Like, oh.
Like, you know what? You're going to listen to me now.
Yeah.
Shove this in your mouth. I mean, you'd have to sit there with like a bar of soap in your mouth.
Dude, that sounds terrible.
Exactly.
From the YouTube over here, female weighing in, saying owie while getting your hair done got you immediately whacked with the hairbrush. We just had to deal with the pain of getting your hair done. That was the 80s for women.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because like if you have curly hair and you had to brush it out, you're like, quit complaining. You're like, it hurts. Shut up.
They just whack you with the brush.
God.
God.
You have this little tiny human being that in no way can fight back and you're just like, shut up. Dang it.
Man.
Beauty is sacrifice. Deal with it.
Someone said it worked for a short time. I'm guessing that was the cursor.
Same guy. And number two, the top two ways kids were disciplined in the 70s. No supper. Another typical punishment that is rarely practiced today is getting sent to your room without any supper. Did you guys call it supper?
No, we didn't call it supper.
We did in the Midwest.
Yeah,
that's
Midwest.
A Midwest thing.
Yeah.
My dad still calls it supper.
Did you call lunch dinner? Because wasn't that the thing before? Like in the old days, like dinner was
lunch was lunch.
Lunch. Okay. So there lunch just was no dinner?
Yeah, dinner wasn't a thing. We called it supper. Mm. Come on, get you some supper.
Yeah, I do remember. We were a bunch of fat people in my family, so no one went without food. There's no way my mom could handle it. My mom's love language was food. So even if my dad said, like, if you were going to skip, like, supper, my mom would buy you McDonald's and sneak it into your room. There's just no way we were not getting fed.
This says, hunger is a powerful motivator, so this was also a pretty effective form of discipline. Not only were you denied nourishment, you also were secluded from the rest of the family as they enjoyed their evening meal and TV shows. Yeah.
I once tried to do the you're going to sit there until you eat, you know,
finish
whatever.
It, yeah.
Dude, my
I got
son
that.
My son can outweigh me. And then he realized that I was like, whatever, get out of here. He didn't care.
I've heard of kids doing that. Like, fine, I'll sleep at the dinner table. I don't care.
Yeah, that's just not an effective one.
Iserman can outweigh any punishment.
Well, because to them, they're like, fine, I'll just sit here. I don't want to eat that, so I'm just going to sit. What are you going to do about it?
He broke me. I tried it like maybe twice and I was like, I can't defeat him.
It's not like kids have somewhere to go
or
somewhere to be.
Exactly.
They're just like, all right.
Whatever. I'll be here.
And number one is spanking, a common form of discipline that has been all but eliminated today. Now known as corporal punishment, hitting a child in any way has been outlawed in 24 countries worldwide. Yeah. This says, my parents never spared the rod to spoil the child, and our biggest fear was to get the paddle instead of the hand. And I have to say, it was effective without leaving any visible permanent scars.
Yeah.
The paddle. Did you ever get the paddle?
No, we never had the paddle.
I got the paddle.
Never had the paddle.
I got the paddle in school.
Yeah, that was I've heard of that.
My principal.
No, never had any of those.
Paddled me.
For
my misdeeds.
I've never struck my kids, but I have spanked them. And honestly, if I could go back, I certainly would not spank them. That is one of those things that I regret. I wish I hadn't. Because again, I feel like that is merely a inability of young me to better come up with something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
a cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out. And it is one of those things that I have, believe it or not, I've apologized to every one of my kids that I have spanked. And have just been like, I was doing the best I could with what I had. And if I could go back, wouldn't do it. I know some people like swear by it. They're like, no, I needed a beating or whatever. And I disagree. It's definitely one of those things that and you can't take it back. You just, hopefully it doesn't scar your kids. And there's nothing wrong with telling your kids that you're sorry. That's one of those other things I try to tell my kids is like,
what if you're not sorry?
Well, you probably should be. Like these parents that think that they're like infallible or that they have it all. I have told my kids a million times, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was freestyling a lot of that. And for many years, I had to do it by myself. And I'm like, and that's all I've learned to say that. I did the best I could. I'm sorry in any of the ways that I fell short. But everything I did was out of love. And hopefully that's good enough. And I have a great relationship with my kids. But yeah, man, I look back at like the parent I was at like 25, 26, and I'm like, that's not the best. But what the hell do you know at 25?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
There's no handbook, man.
Oh, no, there is not.
Well, actually, I think there is by now, probably.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Lots of them. All right, and those are the 10 ways kids were disciplined in the 70s.
Is that how many kinks and mommy issues did that create? Odd.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All right. I have another list. I don't know if we'll have time. Can I talk about Miley Cyrus?
Yeah. We are, by the way, we're getting a lot of people that got their mouth washed out. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it was a real thing.
Boy. No idea.
Try it.
Like a pun, like a fantasy football punishment. Like if you lose your fantasy league, you have to like watch. That would be a good one. You have to watch an entire NFL game, and instead of eating and drinking, you just have to have a bar of soap in your mouth
for 4 hours.
4 hours of just a
would be terrible.
Bar of dial. I'll tell you what, you won't want to finish last in your fantasy league,
That's
will
true.
You?
That's true.
Maybe a quarter, right? Maybe we cut down on that.
All right. Could you? Next, here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you see where Banksy, you know the whole story of Banksy?
I am familiar.
He did a new he did a new hit piece.
Work or whatever.
Work of art. Yeah. Mural.
Yeah, there you go. Couldn't think of what the...
As it were.
Yeah, couldn't think of what that was called.
Yeah, he calls it the Royal Courts of Justice. This was in London.
Yes.
And it depicts a judge attacking a protester, because they've had a bunch of protests over there.
Yeah.
I think it's the pro-Palestinian protests or whatever.
Yeah, he's laying on the ground. He's got a little sign, and the judge is beating him with the gavel. And then someone took a really nice photo of one of those judges with the powdered wigs and a phone kind of walking in front of it. It's like kind of become a like one of those iconic photos.
Yeah, so Banksy, he has confirmed that he did it. He has his own Instagram, apparently.
Mm. Oh.
Which I'm surprised that that doesn't lead to his identity.
Yeah, you would think that via either IP addresses or like you could reverse track where he's posting from. And
I don't know, but I mean, I don't know. I think that might be hard to do. And it's not like he's a criminal.
Well,
I think he is a criminal.
That's
right?
Just it. He is a criminal.
Is he?
Well,
he's trespassing.
Yeah. What they're saying with this is this piece of art specifically, they have launched an investigation. And if they catch him, he's going to have to go to court and he would have,
be exposed.
He'd have to appear. Hmm.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
What are you burglar?
I'm not into Banksy's art.
Nor am I.
But I am really interested to see. Who Banksy is.
If it ends up being male, female, you know, what?
Yeah, could be female.
Could be a gal.
American?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there, I'm surprised there isn't, like...
I'm sure some people... I think if you're on the inside, you probably know.
Because, like, I know with, like, QAnon, like, who was Q, they know who Q is.
Yeah, it was in that documentary,
yeah,
right?
It's like, everyone, I mean, I guess there isn't definitive, but everyone kind of had, like, hey, it's
knows
this
where
guy.
It started, originated, all that.
But I don't think there was that much of a mystery around Q, was there?
Oh, yeah,
I think there was.
Yeah, there was huge. There was huge about like who he was and all that, and then they kind of figured it out.
Do you think Schultzy's Banksy?
I
think so.
I do. And I love that for him.
But Banksy's been around for like decades.
Oh yeah.
So is Schultzy.
Yeah. There's one link right there.
If anyone has any idea.
Oh, I guarantee you they do.
Oh,
well, so
right
you do think that
so AI. While the world-famous street artist Banksy maintains a high level of anonymity, evidence points to Robin Gunningham as the most plausible identity. With a 2023 BBC interview resurfacing that contains his first name, Robbie, and a 2008 Mail on Sunday report identifying him by his name, corroborated by several associates. So we think it's Robin Gunningham? Maybe? I never bothered to really look it up, but
ho, ho, ho.
Is Schultzy's real name Robin Gunningham?
So they do know who Banksy is.
I don't
probably.
Again, I think
maybe they can't prove it's him who's actually doing this, and he doesn't want to take credit for it because again, he'd get into
so
legal
saying,
trouble.
Like, on
it's
here,
unconfirmed.
It's unconfirmed, but they're saying that there's like schoolmates that like, hey, I knew him when he first started, and like he talked about
it. Okay.
Yeah, the
so people do know.
We have a rough idea.
Well, in that instance, I'm surprised he hasn't been.
I just don't think he's
sort of outed.
I don't think his crimes are really like necessarily that you.
Well, it's not really that anymore. It's just that he's a cult phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like I think people really want to know who he is, or maybe it's all part of the bit that people don't really want to know who he is, and it's great that we don't.
Yeah.
Or we don't want to know.
Is he rich? Because he doesn't really.
I don't know.
I mean, he's just like he's doing like street art, right? I mean.
Do you think his like? I don't know. There's something kind of fun about wondering if not even his closest people know who he is. You know what I mean?
Oh, the mystery of it makes it way... If you knew that his name was Robin Gunfield or whatever, you wouldn't care about Banksy.
Well, exactly, which is why I think we're denying this whole... I mean, it may be out there who he is. No. I don't think people want to know.
No.
For this very reason. Yeah. It's like, it makes it cooler if we don't.
Yeah.
And I just want to pretend that not even his wife knows.
Yeah, I'm looking here.
And he gets into his Batmobile and goes and spray paints stuff.
But I guess some of, like, his, I mean, he has to pay taxes and stuff. Because, like, I mean, some of this artwork of his, he had a piece in 2021 and sold for 40 million pounds.
Well, they sure know a lot about him. I'm reading his Wikipedia page. He's miles long.
Yeah, he's got copyright of his murals and stuff. And so, you
want to go back through that documentary that was really good, that Exit Through the Gift Shop.
On him?
Did you guys see that one?
No.
It was a Netflix documentary on him, and they follow another artist who's essentially kind of trying to be his own Banksy and has been inspired by him, but they try to follow the works and understand it. It's really good.
Apparently he's a white Englishman.
Yeah. That's what at least the photo of it. It looked like it. Well, at least he was white. I couldn't say he was an Englishman. But I assume most of his work is done in England, so. Right? He did the banana, right? Isn't that Banksy?
Yep. Yeah, the banana is the gun, right? And, I mean, a million others.
My favorite was the one where it was the red balloon and then it shredded it, like, at the auction. That was cool.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think I saw that one.
There was a Banksy auction and it was a painting of a girl holding a little balloon. It sold for millions or whatever. I mean, it sold for a lot of money. And at the auction site, when they gaveled it, inside of the frame, he built a paper shredder. So whoever bought it for the however many millions or whatever, Banksy triggered it.
No way.
Look it up. There's a video. And it shredded. It shredded the artwork.
Did they get their money back?
No, because I think that was like, I think that's the bit.
They were paying for that?
Well, no, I don't think they knew, but like that was kind of the bit. You bought it, it's yours, and in that was Banksy had rigged it to shred. I think it was like a commentary on, you just spent millions of dollars on something simply because it was mine, and by the way, here it is, and he shreds it.
So I'm a little confused. The whoever bought it knew that it was going to shred?
No, they did not. But that doesn't change the fact that you still...
God.
I'm going to look it up here. I can't believe you haven't seen this.
No. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
maybe I'm pretending because I'm really Banksy.
Yeah, okay, here it is. Yeah. Iconic balloon girl painting. All right, so that just sold at auction. The guy gaveled it, and now look at it.
Oh, I see, yeah. He's shredding it.
Yeah, he shreds it. There's a paper shredder built into the frame.
Wow. And so does that mean he's in the... Like, how does he control the shredder?
Either by remote...
Is he in the room?
Either that or it's just... I don't know. I'm sure there's a live auction site where you could watch it from.
Dude, that's badass.
Yeah. So for someone spent $1.4 million, and as soon as they gaveled it and was like, yours, it just went bzzz. And in real time, it just dropped down and shredded. And I was like, oh my God. Dude, that's gnarly. And I'll bet you, if you spent $1.4 million on that, you probably thought it was awesome.
I respect it.
Yeah, right? Like,
I respect it.
You know.
What an idiot.
All right, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, make sure you join us tomorrow. We'll be at Tom's Watch Bar at Ale and A without Buck. He never gets to go on any of these adventures.
Never off the leash.
Buck would be a fun guy to have at a sports book, sports
bar.
Damn
right.
Oh, yeah. Play. Look at all his angles.
Can you imagine how many times he'd have to stand in line for all the Betsy places?
I'd have to do a lot of award-winning show prep to get all those in ahead of time so I didn't have to keep going back to the window. Unless, right, of course, we're live betting, which is entirely possible.
By the way, I looked up the Banksy Balloon Girl. So it sold for $1.4 million and then was shredded. After it was shredded, it was called Love is in the Bin. And Banksy said that it was a commentary on the commercialism of art.
Okay.
It later sold shortly thereafter, after it was shredded, for almost $19 million.
The shreddings did.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the frame? Was it still in the frame?
It was like half hanging down. I guess the shredder jammed, so it shredded like three quarters of it.
Oh, that's why.
And it sold for, it sold for $1.4 million, and then shortly after the shredding,
I will say,
it sold for over $19 million.
That's kind of badass, buying that for $19 million, because that is a one of one.
Yep.
You going to replicate that?
Nope.
Can you imagine walking into my house? You're like, hey, Rob, wait a minute. Is that the balloon girl? Yeah,
so,
I bought it.
So I guess the only thing that was left that wasn't shredded, and I guess it's not 100% clear whether it jammed or if he meant to do it, but just the balloon. The balloon's the only piece left.
That's the coolest part of the whole story.
Yeah, 5 years later. It sold for it sold for 18.58 million pounds. So like, what was that? Like,
so who gets that money? Does he get the money?
No, whoever bought the...
got the 1.5? He did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sold
it. So somebody knows who the hell this dude is.
Or I'm sure he has an art broker that he goes through, but yeah.
Oh, an art broker.
Yeah.
I want to be an art broker.
I think you don't make any money unless there's like four of you in the world, so, you know.
Wait, what?
I think, can I
be the fifth?
I think being an art broker is probably the worst job in the world, except for like five people that probably make a butt ton of money.
Yeah. Like, is Sotheby, or is that's an auction house?
That's an auction house. Yeah.
Are they an art broker?
No. I mean, they're an auction house. They'll auction anything. I think an art broker is...
They can probably appraise art at Sotheby's, right?
Yeah. But even that got rocked on its world, because I did see a documentary about that guy that was faking, like, the Rembrandts and everything.
The forgeries, yeah.
The forgeries. And they say that the art world has been turned on its ear, because there is speculation that that dude has put out a lot of supposedly these super expensive paintings or forgeries, and the auction houses got fooled. All their authenticators got schnookered by this guy.
Mm.
In fact, the only reason he ended up getting caught is they did some sort of like a spectrometer or whatever, where they did like an analysis of one of the paints. And there was a material in the white paint, like a chemical, that didn't exist. We didn't know that that was used in paint.
I read about this. Yeah, that was like the forensic way that they were able to find out. It was at least one of them that he'd juked.
Tell you what, that's pretty badass that they caught that.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I guess they have a technology now, and they were testing some of the paint, and it was a modern white paint. And they're like, this didn't exist when Rembrandt was painting.
Here's a semi-serious question about this.
Yeah.
If you have the original painting by whomever.
Yeah.
and someone makes it the exact same way, down to a chemical in a paint as being the only difference, what's the difference?
Somebody's word. That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it. Well, we talked about an autograph, right? Why is it that you can have two things that are exactly the same, spot for spot, but because someone's handheld that it's worth X, and if not, it's worth nothing? Same thing. It's just, we're weird. We're just...
Speak for yourself. I'm not weird.
Diamonds are like that.
I love sports.
We can make diamonds that are clearer, sharper, better than natural diamonds, and they're worth like a tenth of whatever of the real thing.
Everybody, have a great night. We are back tomorrow. Join us, won't you? A&A Casino, Tom's Watch Bar. We'll be up there 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.